Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Now, we are in the era, as we speak, of the Great Resignation, and with corporate profits at an all-time high, but also a cost-of-living crisis, industrial action has been talked about more and more frequently. We've seen it in the UK in the past couple of weeks, with rail union leader Mick Lynch becoming, I suppose you could call him, a modern folk hero. Music is one of the great tools of social justice, and there's a long history of artists documenting social and industrial unrest. So we're talking about protest and strike songs, 51552, and to help me with that is journalist Chris Jones of Dublin Live and Belfast Live. Chris, welcome back to the programme.
Thank you very much, Dave. Good to be with you.
And good to be with you as well. So tell me, what's happening here? Because there is a rich history, isn't there, of supporting striking workers and protesters of all kinds with songs and music.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could really arguably trace protest music back to the 18th and 19th century in the United States. You know, they've got songs sung by enslaved African-Americans, songs by people protesting the Civil War. Then, of course, the early 20th century, the Great Depression was the inspiration for people like Woody Guthrie, who, of course, inspired Bob Dylan. Then later in the 60s, you had the era of the counterculture, Vietnam campaign for nuclear disarmament and so on. Even more recently, you know, someone like Kendrick Lamar, one of the biggest artists in the world, Black Lives Matters, obviously a big inspiration for him. So it runs right through to the present day.
Okay, well then let's just get some examples and play some of them as well. We'll start with an Irish one, by the way, Andy Irvine, yeah?
Yeah, this is a song called Gladiators. Came out about 20 years ago, and it's written as a tribute to the heroes of the anti-war, anti-First World War movement, that is, in Australia, particularly Tom Barker, who was an English-born trade unionist and politician in New Zealand and Australia in the early 20th century. He campaigned heavily against conscription in Australia, and the song, as the song describes, he was imprisoned, deported to Chile, eventually made his way back to England and was a Labour Party mayor in London. And when he was elected, he raised a red flag.
Of the men who made this empire, they made it for the few who feast upon the profits of the labours we all.
Okay, about Australia, but from Ireland, that's Andy Irvine. Let's go to England. I presume you're going to mention Billy Bragg at some stage.
Oh, you have to, absolutely. I mean, he's certainly, as far as British protest singers are concerned, he's got to be number one. There Is Power in a Union is a song we're going to hear. It actually shares its name with a different song that was written by Joe Hill in 1913. He sort of appropriated the title. The message, though, is ultimately the same. Of course, he was a leading voice supporting the miner strike in the mid-80s and a leader of the Red Wedge movement. We might hear a bit more of that later on as well. They campaigned unsuccessfully for a Labour government in the Thatcher years. And, I mean, the lyrics of this song speak for themselves. Clarion call for solidarity in the face of unscrupulous bosses who, as Bragg puts it, send their lackeys out to cheat us.
Yeah, okay, so what we are doing here, we're talking about protest and strike songs with Chris Jones, 51552. This is There Is Power in the Union, or in our union, isn't it? There's power in our union, I think.
That's
it is, yeah.
Yep.
With our brothers and our sisters, many far off lands, there is power in our union.
Okay, Power in the Union, which is from Billy Bragg. Where do you want to go next, Chris?
We'll go for something quite different next. We're going to go for a bit of Bon Jovi and Living on a Prayer. I thought I'd throw this in kind of for a laugh, but it just shows that, you know, strikes can pop up in big pop and rock songs as well.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
The song everyone knows, not a protest song, John Bon Jovi said that himself, but it does speak to the band's sort of blue-collar New Jersey background, the very same background as Bruce Springsteen, by the way. Of course, as everybody probably knows, the story of Tommy is a dock worker with no work because the union's been on strike and it's tough, so tough. And Gina, of course, who works a diner all day, as with any good pop song, ultimately love conquers all. But John Bon Jovi, he's been a left-wing, or at least a Democrat activist for many years, though he's more of a Biden man than a Bernie Sanders man, I think.
Living on a Prayer it is. That's the story of Tommy. And what's her name again? Is it Gina? It is, yeah, Gina. Bon Jovi. Now, Mavis Staples was in with us here on the programme just a couple of years ago. She's fantastic. I presume you have her on your list too.
I do indeed, yeah. I've got her singing We Shall Not Be Moved, which was really an old spiritual hymn, really, originally called I Shall Not Be Moved. But in the 1930s, then it was adopted by workers in various industries, coal miners in West Virginia, people working in textile mills in the South, and General Motors plants up in Detroit as well, as We Shall Not Be Moved. Since then, it's been adopted for all sorts of causes, the American Civil Rights Movement, of course, in the 60s, and also into Spanish. as if I can get my pronunciation, Nonos Movaran, in protest against the Spanish dictator Franco and also the military coup in Chile in 1973. But I really love this Mavis Staples version.
Okay, we shall not be moved. We'll give you a little bit of a now, Mavis Staples.
Fire.
Okay, next up, we're going to go to 1980s UK and the Flying Pickets with Only You. Now, this is, as most people know, I think, not a political song in itself, but very much associated with the miners' strike. Mm. The Flying Pickets were a group of left-wing actors who'd actually used a cappella singing in the early 80s in a play about strikes in the 70s, then enjoyed it so much that they started playing in pubs and clubs, somehow got signed by Virgin Records, which is kind of the kind of thing that could happen back in those days, and then had a massive hit covering this very recent, at the time, Yazoo song. Then, just as luck would have it, this happened to coincide with a massive miners' strike in 1984, where the group were extremely vocal and active, joining pickets and doing benefits, and a version of the group is actually still going to this day.
So you're talking like the fact that this song is not what we're talking about here necessarily, but there's so much association, A, because of the name of the band, and B, because it became a kind of an almost unofficial, not so much anthem, but sort of a piece of music associated with it, isn't that it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Flying Pickets. Flying Pickets, that refers to mobile strikers who travel in order to join a picket. Yeah. And yeah, it became just synonymous with the miners' strike, so I thought we'd throw it in there.
All I ever knew, only you.
Next up, we'll stay in the around the miners' strike in the mid-80s with Style Council. Walls Come Tumbling Down is the song we're going to hear now. Paul Weller was also, along with Billy Bragg, a leading figure in Red Wedge. And of course, he had just come from the Jam, who had a very political edge themselves with songs like Eden Rifles and Down in the Tube Station at Midnight. He changed the sound with his next band, The Style Council. It was more soul and R&B than punk and new wave. But the lyrics definitely hadn't lost their edge. This is one of their biggest singles. Absolutely fantastic song. It's basically a manifesto for class warfare set to a Northern soul backing.
And Daniel jumps like a donkey's carrots.
So first 5 years, I suppose, really, of the 80s, etc., did not make Paul Weller happy because Margaret Thatcher was in power, in a nutshell.
Exactly, yeah. Him and Billy Bragg and many others, Everything But the Girl, they were involved in that as well. Didn't amount to very much. Of course, the 1987 general election, Thatcher won again, and that was basically the end of that as far as the Red Wedge is concerned. But yeah, for a while, they were doing their damnedest to get her out.
Okay, so where are you going next?
We'll go back to the originator now, I think, with Woody Guthrie. Couldn't possibly sing or talk about protest songs and strike songs without mentioning Woody. The song we're going to hear is 1913 Massacre, which is a somber song, obviously, as you can imagine, about the death of striking copper miners and their families in Michigan. Christmas Eve 1913 was commonly known as the Italian Hall disaster. Classically of his oeuvre, it's a story song, really powerfully but simply sung by arguably the greatest protest singer of all time.
Just the thugs and the scabs fooling you. A man grabbed his daughter and he carried her down, but the thugs held the door and he could not get out.
1913 Massacre, that's Woody Guthrie. Chris?
Next up is another American strike. The song we're going to hear is Which Side Are You On, which was written in 1931 by Florence Reese in Kentucky. She was the wife of a miner and union leader called Sam Reese, and he and his family were being persecuted by the local sheriff, hired by the mining company that employed him for leading a strike. It was a really long, bloody, I think, period of unrest called the Harlan County War. So written by Florence Reese, Pete Seeger, who we'll hear in a second as well, learned the song then in the 40s and it became a standard. The version we're going to hear, though, is by Natalie Merchant. She was a singer of 10,000 Maniacs, a prominent social activist as well in the 80s and 90s.
Natalie Merchant and her version of Which Side Are You On?
Yeah, so next, Pete Seeger, as I mentioned, he kind of followed swiftly in the footsteps of Woody Guthrie, sort of from the late 30s, 1940s. And the song we're going to hear is Solidarity Forever. It was written by a guy called Ralph Chaplin in 1915 to the tune of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which gives it a quasi-religious and patriotic fervor. Originally written for the Industrial Workers of the World, which is a huge union at the time known as the Wobblies, but since then it's been adopted by lots of other labor movements all over the place. And like all good anthems, it's very, very simple and very effective.
Solidarity forever, for the union makes us strong.
Yeah, by way of Battle Hymn of the Republic, that's Solidarity Forever from Pete Seeger, Chris.
Yeah, so next one is staying in America, but a bit more recent, relatively speaking. This is Tracy Chapman next, and talking about a revolution. So we're up in the late 80s here. And really, it's a political and social anthem dedicated to the poor and disenfranchised in American society. Lyrics go, poor people going to rise up and get their share. Poor people going to rise up and take what's theirs, which obviously is an angry, emotionally charged political lyric. But this song, I think, proves that protest doesn't have to scream in your face. It can sound like a whisper.
Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution, sounds
like a whisper. Tracy Chapman talking about a revolution. We're talking to Chris Jones of Dublin Live and Belfast Live. Give us a couple more, Chris.
Yeah, two more. Next one is Pulp, and this is a song that actually I wasn't aware of until I started looking into this. It's called Last Day of the Miner Strike, and it appeared on their Hits compilation in 2002. It was actually the last song they ever released before they split up the following year. It's a good story behind this. Jarvis Cocker had a dream that he was listening to a song that John Lennon had written about the miner strike in the mid-80s. Of course, John Lennon died in 1980, so when he woke up, he realised that he'd sort of come up with the song himself in his dream, and then thought, well, I need a new song for this compilation that's coming out, so I'll commit to it. So it's a little bit more elusive and sort of unspecific than some of the songs here, but very evocative of the time. Cocker obviously remembers well, and very much in solidarity with the miners.
Okay, Jarvis Cocker, The Last Day of the Miners' Strike, Pulp, actually. And give us a last track then, Chris.
Yeah, we're coming right bang up to date with this one, just to sort of emphasise the point that protest music hasn't exactly gone away. This is Tom Morello, who was, of course, the guitarist of Rage Against the Machine back in the day. A song that came out at the end of last year of one of his solo albums called Hold the Line. And I mean, it basically just sounds like Rage Against the Machine. And the lyrical content is pretty similar too. So he's still holding the line himself.
He's still holding the line himself. Listen, Chris, thanks a million for talking with us on the programme today. I'll play a bit of that now. That's Chris Jones of Dublin Live and Belfast Live. See you, Chris. Take it easy. Hold the line.
Nobody said it would be easy. Nobody said that it would all be fine. But to get where we're going, brother, you gotta hold the line.
Dave Fanning on 2FM.